RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Here is the news, read by Steve. First, the headlines. Tax to be optimized without disrupting investment climate. Gunawan Muhammad to speak at Discovery Indonesia in Glasgow. Industrial Ministry notes growth in non-oil and gas sector. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian government, with its plan not to disrupt the investment climate, will optimize tax income set at 1,565.8 trillion rupiah in the draft budget for 2016 presented to the House of Representatives on Friday. President Joko Widodo affirmed in a speech while presenting the draft budget for 2016 to the House of Representatives that tax policies would be directed to increase national economic stability, to preserve the public's purchasing power, and to increase competitiveness and added value of national industries. On the other hand, the government will also optimize non-tax state income, which in 2016 is set at 280.3 trillion rupiahs. Revenues from natural resources, especially oil and gas, will dominate the non-tax income, although numerous challenges, such as the volatile global oil prices, still loom large. The government has set state revenues in the draft 2016 state budget at 1,848.1 trillion rupiahs, while state spending at 2,121.3 trillion rupiahs. Economic growth is assumed at 5.5% in the draft 2016 budget, while inflation at 4.7% and the rate of 3-month state securities at 5.5%. The Discovery Indonesia event to be held on September 3rd until the 13th, 2015 in London, Glasgow and Cardiff, with the support of the British Council, the Indonesian Tourism Ministry and the Indonesian Embassy to the United Kingdom in London, aimed at promoting Indonesia. UK and Indonesia program manager Jane Showell said that the event was initiated 2 years ago. The shows to be performed in Glasgow will be different. The event will feature Gunawan Muhammad, the former Tempo magazine editor-in-chief, who will share about the latest conditions in Indonesia. Scheduled to speak at the event on September 12th and will lead a panel discussion about the current life in Indonesia from a cultural perspective. The event will also feature film screening directed by Vincent Moon and Indonesian traditional food. South Bank Center creative producer Rahel Harris said that she was not too ambitious in setting the target of visitor number. Indonesian Industrial Ministry recorded that growth for the non-oil and gas manufacturing industry in the second quarter of 2015 had reached 5.37%. Industrial Minister Saleh Husin, after attending the House of Representatives plenary meeting on Friday, August 14, 2015, explained that industrial growth achievement in the second quarter of 2015 was 5.27%. This means the figure increases from the 5.21% in the first quarter. The growth rate is considerably higher even compared to the 4.67% economic growth rate recorded in the second quarter of 2015. Minister Saleh added that the total investment value recorded in Q2 of 2015 had reached $5.07 billion. or 14.5% higher compared to the $4.43 billion recorded in the same period in 2014. State-owned airport operator or PT Angkasa Pura II plans to expand the capacity of 5 of its airports, enabling each to cater for more than 20 million passengers per year. The airport, including the expansion plans set to be finished in 2025, are Sultan Syarif Kasim II Airport in Pekanbaru, Kuala Namu Airport in Medan, Supadio Airport in Pontianak, Minangkabau Airport in Ketapang, and Sultan Mahmud Badarudin II in Palembang. Geographically, the airports represent the western, central, and eastern parts of Indonesia, allowing people to reach international destinations more easily. The expansion is part of AP2's long-term development plan. As for the midterm outlook, it is currently revamping the capacity and the interior design of Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Jakarta, enabling the terminals to handle 18 and 19 million passengers per year respectively. Meanwhile, Terminal 3 Ultimate, said to be the most modern in Indonesia, will be able to serve 25 million passengers per year starting 2016. Angkasa Pura II is also set to turn the south for Soekarno-Hatta International Airport's express train development. The station, for which will cover more than 12,300 square meters and will host a 12-kilometer railway with Batu Ceper Station in Tangerang as its main destination. PT Hutama Karya TBK or HAKA, as a state-owned enterprise that constructs the Trans-Sumatra Toll Road, announced that the Medan-Binjai Toll Road project will be completed by the end of 2016. Could be estimated if the land acquisition could be finished soon. Director of Hutama Karya, I. Gusti Ngurah Putra, has said in Jakarta more recently that the only problem was the land acquisition. While the funding of the construction of the toll road was fine, PT Hutama Karya or HAKA got a loan from PT Sarana Multi Infrastructure about 481 billion rupiahs. For the construction itself, Hutama Karya site was supported by new heavy equipment that can speed up the process. Medan-Binjai Toll Road was the first toll road of 4 toll roads to be built. In Trans-Sumatra Toll Roads, there are Palembang Simpang Indralaya Toll Road, Bagohoni Terbanggi Besar Toll Road, and Pekanbaru Dumai Toll Road. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Crickson said the relationship between Australia and Indonesia often experiences ups and downs. However, in essence, the relation between the two countries have always been strong. This was stated by Ambassador Crickson after attending President Joko Widodo's State of the Nation address before the People's Consultative Assembly Annual Plenary Session 2015 in Jakarta on Friday, August 14th. For Australia, according to Ambassador Paul Crickson, Indonesia is the largest democracy country and has a good future. Ambassador Crickson added, to increase economic cooperation with the Indonesian-Australian relation, Australian Trade Minister will visit Indonesia in November with a number of business delegations. In addition, Ambassador Crickson said Australian Embassy in Indonesia holds a series of events to celebrate the 70 years of independence of the Republic of Indonesia. Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia Muhammad Akil Nadim congratulates all the people of Indonesia on the anniversary of Indonesian Independence Day. In its 70-year independence, Ambassador Nadim sees Indonesia as a country being developing well despite various economic problems. Indonesia has done various cooperation both in economic and politics. The ambassador also hopes that the cooperation between Indonesia and Pakistan will be better in the future. Furthermore, Muhammad Akil Nadim was optimistic that Indonesian and Pakistani cooperation in the economic field will increase. So far, Pakistan has imported palm oil and Indonesia has imported foodstuffs such as rice and other essential food. The value of cooperation between Indonesia and Pakistan is nearly $2.2 million. Pakistan also supports Indonesia in international forums such as the United Nations on the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the G77. He is also grateful for the support of Indonesia to Pakistan in Pakistan's membership in the ASEAN Regional Forum. Well, listener, that's the news.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from several national newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pani. We begin with Kompas. The newspaper, in its editorial, writes, "New cabinet in hard situation." Indonesian President Joko Widodo reshuffled the working cabinet, which less than 1 year at work. The inauguration of the new ministers on Wednesday, August 12, ended the uncertainty. The new ministers sworn in were Darmin Nasution as Coordinating Economic Minister, Rijal Ramli, Coordinating Maritime First Minister, Thomas Lembong as Minister of Trade, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan as Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Sofyan Jalil as Minister of National Development Planning, Head of Bappenas, and Pramono Agung as Cabinet Secretary. After the inauguration, in the afternoon, a special staff of President sent a written statement about the importance of a cabinet reshuffle, including the anticipated economic slowdown and strengthened synergies and coordination. According to Compass, although admittedly the pressure on stock exchange also occur in the world's capital markets, which are affected more global factors as the Chinese government policy. However, economic growth also slowed due to slow disbursement of development funds and global economic slowdown. Compass writes, all parties hope the new formation can be directly appointed by President to work and actively communicate its economic policy in a holistic manner. Public hope the coordinating minister in economics and other institutions in the field of economics can explain the true situation of economic policies. Economic ministers must send a signal of government's readiness to anticipate the economic slowdown. According to Compass, offering an opportunity for new ministers to work is a wise attitude. Koran Tempo, in its editorial, writes, after reshuffle the cabinet, President Joko Widodo has indeed met public demand on the cabinet overhaul. President replaced three coordinating ministers, Ministers of Trade, Head of National Development Planning Agency, and Cabinet Secretary. According to Tempo, this replacement obviously must be accompanied by rapid steps to boost the performance of the cabinet, particularly in the economic field. Quick step is necessary because for almost a year, in charge of the cabinet, their working performance are still not satisfactory. New faces in the cabinet is expected to answer the increasingly severe economic challenges. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution, Coordinating Maritime Minister Affairs Rijal Ramli, for example, are required to be able to immediately improve economic indicators such as the exchange rate. Inflation to economic growth is still far from expectations. The slow growth would not only be triggered by factors that slow government spending, but external factors also influenced. But most important thing, according to Tempo, is the absence of a figure who became the leader of the development over the years. Nasution's presence is expected to meet market demand. The global economic situation is equally complicated. A stronger US dollar and China's policy to lower the yuan exchange rate has hit stock index and rupiah. With a number of facts, the government should immediately consolidate its economic policies. Now, according to Tempo, it's time to work restoring local economy ravaged by the life which is increasingly difficult. We end the press review with Media Indonesia Daily. The newspaper writes, controlling meat price. Beef prices, which rise again in some areas in the country, has become the review of Media Indonesia. After briefly surge ahead of Idul Fitr, the price of meat is uncontrolled in the middle of the economic slowdown. Although it is not a new phenomenon, the rise in prices this time really far above expectations for an acceptable reason. Media Indonesia assessed there is something unusual in the phenomenon of rising meat prices this time. The irregularity is indicated by the emergence of a number of phenomena. Among them, the increase in meat prices was reportedly not enjoyed by traders. The soaring meat price coupled the strike by the traders and irregularities of price was later confirmed by police chief General Badruddin Haiti. The police chief confirmed the scarcity of meat, which then triggered a price increase due to the entrepreneurs who did hoarding. He even mentioned the existence of 7 businesses that indicated the contrary. Therefore, according to Media Indonesia, the phenomenon of rising meat prices must be tamed and controlled by the government. If it is true, there are 7 companies are toying with the public interest by manipulating the price of beef without waiting for the queue. The government should take firm action. The unusual meat prices should be addressed immediately. Well, listener, that was today's Press Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with Mirahma in our regular segment Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition of Today in History, we start from an event on August 15, 1914. Panama Canal is a 77.1 kilometer or 48 m ship canal in Panama that connects the Atlantic Ocean via the Caribbean Sea to the Pacific Ocean. The canal cuts across the Isthmus of Panama and is a key conduit for international maritime trade. France began work on the canal in 1881, but had to stop because of engineering problems and high mortality due to disease. The United States took over the project in 1904 and took a decade to complete the canal, which was officially opened on August 15, 1914. One of the largest and most difficult engineering projects ever undertaken, the Panama Canal shortcut greatly reduced the time for ships to travel between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, enabling them to avoid the lengthy, hazardous Cape Horn route around the southernmost tip of South America via the Drake Passage or Strait of Magellan. The shorter, faster, and safer route to the U.S. West Coast and to nations in and around the Pacific Ocean allowed those places to become more integrated with the world economy. The next event was in 1962 when an agreement signed by the Netherlands and Indonesia regarding the administration of the territory of West Papua. The first part of the agreement proposes that the United Nations assume administration of the territory, and the second part proposes a set of social conditions that will be provided if the United Nations exercises a discretion proposed in Article 12 of the agreement to allow Indonesian occupation and administration of the territory. Negotiated during meetings hosted by the United States, the agreement was signed on August 15, 1962 at the United Nations headquarters in New York. Although agreements are not able to negate obligations defined in the Charter of the United Nations, and the agreement asserted that it was for the benefit of the people of the territory, some people believe that the agreement was sacrificing the people of the territory for benefit of the foreign powers. And the last event was in 2005 when Aceh Peace Agreement was signed in Helsinki, Finland. The Aceh Monitoring Mission was established by the European Union after the Memorandum of Understanding between the Government of the Republic of Indonesia and the Free Aid Movement was signed on August 15, 2005 in Helsinki, Finland. The mission is one of many missions under the European Union's Common Security and Defense Policy. Aceh Monitoring Mission, led by Mr. Peter Faith from the European Union, was established to monitor the implementation of various aspects of the peace agreement set out in the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, signed in August 2005. Aceh Monitoring Mission undertook the mission in order to contribute to a peaceful, comprehensive, and sustainable solution to the conflict in Aceh. This had been made all the more important by the tsunami disaster of December 26, 2004. In undertaking the mission, the European Union and ASEAN fully respected the territorial integrity of Indonesia and saw the future of Aceh as being within the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. Aceh Monitoring Mission was impartial by nature and did not represent or favor any of the parties. Head of Mission reported to the Council of the European Union through the Political and Security Committee and to Javier Solana, Secretary General and High Representative of the Council of the European Union on matters related to Aceh Monitoring Mission. He reported to the parties, the CMI, and the contributing countries on possible violations of the MOU. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on the weakening of rupiah exchange rate is a concern. I'm Dalat Pane. Rupiah against the US dollar continues to weaken in the last week. Interbank transaction in Jakarta on Wednesday, August 12, showed that rupiah was traded at the position of 13,761 rupiahs. The level is in the lowest in 17 years, after touching a figure of 15,000 rupiahs in 1998. Even on Thursday, August 13, the rupiah had strengthened slightly by 26 points to 13,735 rupiahs. But it has not been safe, still worrying. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said, the weakening of rupiah against the US dollar is more influenced by the overreaction to the devaluation of the Chinese yuan. Bambang explained, anticipation for the weakening of the rupiah will be conducted by Bank Indonesia, the central bank. While Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo acknowledged that rupiah has weakened too deep and far from its fundamental value. For that, Bank Indonesia pledged to continue to be in the market to make efforts to stabilize the exchange rate. Bank Indonesia will optimize the policy and continue to coordinate with the government and other authorities. Agus said, rupiah developments in recent days is primarily due to global developments. He said, the market is still reacting to the decision of the Chinese government to devalue its currency, yuan. The move, according to Agus, the Chinese government wanted to maintain its export performance, which plummeted by 8.3% in July 2015. The biggest drop in 4 months. According to Agus, the global depreciation of yuan has an impact on Chinese trading partners, whose exports rely on natural resources, including Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kala said, the weakening of rupiah, one of them due to the influence of devaluation or lowered the value of Chinese currency yuan against the dollar. According to Kala, the weakening of rupiah also caused by other things, such as what is happening in the country and what the government does, certainly correlation with external factors. While the money market observer of Bank Himpunan Saudara, Ruli Nova, said the projections in the market about the U.S. central bank's plan, the Fed will postpone raising interest rates in September to be one of the factors supporting the rupiah. Ruli says trends in the rupiah currency correction as on Friday, the government can use to boost the performance of domestic export because the Indonesian export products are still quite competitive in the global market. However, market players must remain vigilant because the potential for rupiah to weaken again is still open following the Chinese government's policy to devaluate its currency again. Well, listener, that was Focus for today over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hello, listener. Here's news in brief. Indonesian government, with its plan not to disrupt the investment climate, will optimize tax income set at 1,565.8 trillion in the draft budget for 2016 presented to the House of Representatives on Friday. The Discovery Indonesia event to be held on September 3rd until 13, 2015 in London, Glasgow and Cardiff with the support of the British Council, the Indonesian Tourism Ministry and the Indonesian Embassy to the United Kingdom in London aimed at promoting Indonesia. Indonesian Industrial Ministry recorded that growth for the non-oil and gas manufacturing industry in the second quarter of 2015 had reached 5.27%. State-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II plans to expand the capacity of the 5 of its airport, enabling it to cater for more than 20 million passengers per year. PT Hutama Karya TBK, as a state-owned enterprise that constructs the Trans Sumatra Toll Road, announced that the Medan Binjai Toll Road project will be completed by the end of 2016. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Gregson said the relationship between Australia and Indonesia often experiences ups and downs. Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia Muhammad Akil Nadim congratulates all the people of Indonesia on the anniversary of Indonesian Independence Day. And listener, that's the news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I introduce you to the Mutun Beach in Lampung Province. Stay tuned. Listener, besides elephant preservation in Waikambas, Lampung also has beautiful beach, namely Mutun Beach. This beach is located at Sukajaya Village, Padang Cermin Subdistrict, Pesawaran Regency, Lampung Regency, around 25 kilometers to the west of Bandar Lampung City. The location of this beach is on the left of the main road. There is a signboard of the tourism object that read Mutun Beach 1 kilometers.
Listener, to enter Mutton Beach, you will be charged. After paying entrance ticket, you will enjoy the comfort of the beach. At the beach, you can ride canoe, banana boat, or swimming. If you have a fishing hobby, you can cast your hobby here, and please do not worry if you do not bring your own fishing kit, because in here, you can rent it and boat at the beach. Listener, white sand will come blue waves dominate Mutton Beach. A rare combination color can be found at beaches in Java. At the beach, local people also provide places which can be rented to take a rest. Waves at Mutton Beach are calm, so it is quite safe for the tourists who want to swim. If you just want to be relaxed, there are huts for sitting while enjoying the wind of the beach. If you are tired and hungry, you can choose restaurants which providing you food which you can suit with your appetite. Mutton Beach is easy to be visited because its location is not too far from Bandar Lampung. If you want to drive your own private vehicle, it takes around 30 minutes only. After arriving at the main road to the beach, you can walk or ride a motorcycle taxi, or in here we call it ojek. If you want to stay at night at the beach, there is lodging for you. Well, listener, that was Indonesia Wonder for today, featuring Mutton Beach. Meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle and history. Today's edition will be about the exhibition of Indonesian Batik of the Young 2015, Young People's Style and Culture. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program to www.voi.co.id. Batik is a pictorial fabric manufactured specifically by writing or putting wax on a piece of cloth, then processed it in a specific way. Batik Indonesia, as the overall engineering, technology, motifs development and related culture, has been designated by UNESCO as a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity since October 2, 2009. Batik in the Japanese language means writing or painting points. On the other hand, some people said that batik is taken from the word titik or point, given the suffix mba as a verb. So it's batik. So batik can also be interpreted as the word of making a point or some points. If analyzed from the technique, batik is a job of keeping the colors on cloth by using wax. This technique has already existed since thousands of years ago in the whole civilized world, actually. In Indonesia, batik is believed to have existed since the time of Majapahit Kingdom and became very popular in late 18th century or early 19th century. All batik cloths produced until the early 20th century were handwritten or painted ones. The new stamped printed batik was not known until after World War I or around 1920s. Batik tradition was originally a hereditary tradition, so sometimes certain batik motifs were recognizable derived from a particular family. Some batik may indicate the status of a person. Even today, some traditional batik motif is only used by the royal family of Yogyakarta and Surakarta palaces. Nusantara or Indonesian batik is so rich in motifs and patterns with a deep philosophy. Batik is not just a cloth written and painted in a special way, but also a reflection of the nation with a variety of types and patterns in accordance with the philosophy and culture of each region. Batik is now increasingly becoming mandatory attire for all Indonesian citizens. In the past, batik was rarely seen as everyday clothes, but now it can easily be found anywhere. Of batik that once was said to only belong to the old generation now has been successfully modified to appear more modern and worn not only as a mere clothing but also as supporting accessories such as handbags, shoes, hair accessories and even handmade batik necklaces. Batik fever, which has hit the country lately, hopefully is not only for a moment, because the fabric, which is the hallmark of Indonesia, is actually quite beautiful to be combined with modern fabrics. Commemorating the 70th anniversary of Indonesia, Putra Putri Batik Nusantara took the Association of Batik Nusantara Lovers to hold an event called Gebyar Yang Batik Nusantara 2015, or the Exhibition and Promotion of Indonesian Batik of the Young 2015 in Food Society Casablanca City, South Jakarta from August the 14th to 17th. The event is highlighted with a variety of entertainment ranging from fashion shows, marching bands, cheerleading and children dance performances. There is also a bazaar selling batik ethnic goods of various top brands. The activity is a form of real concern of the younger generation to cultivate the love of batik as well as promoting and preserving batik as one of the UNESCO World Heritage. Well, that was Miscellany Today. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I introduce you to Elektra Band, who dare to offer different color of music and concept of performance. The band, which plays in pop sweet rock genre, wants to change Malay color music, which is very thick in Indonesian music industry. VOI listeners, let's listen to a single entitled Kalo Cinta or If Love. Enjoy the song.
Bersama berbagi rasa dimanapun kau ada, aku pun selalu ada.
RRI listeners, Jack, the guitarist of Elektra Band, admitted that a single entitled Kalo Cinta, sung by Elektra Band, was taken from life experience of the personnel. Beginning from the communication when gathered at musical studio in Pekanbaru, Lina, vocalist, Jack, guitarist, Posan, guitarist, Aldi, bassist, and Raffi, drummer, agreed to establish a band on July 1, 2009. The name Elektra was taken from a fiction, a superwoman hero, Elektra, which they said suitable with their frontliner format. The same vision and mission was also their background to establish the band. Like other newcomers, it is not easy to attract producers. Because of spirit and high creativity, Elektra tried to break musical market in the country by playing pop rock genre. Finally, Elektra joined with one of Indonesian recording industries, the Taxi Records, in July 2010. VOI listeners, let's listen to Elektra's song entitled Mungkinkah.
Aku meninggalkanmu, walaupun berat semua untukku. Tak bisa ku jalani kisah cinta ini yang selalu saja menyakitiku.
After officially joining in the Taxi Records, Elektra has faced long process to choose songs, materials, and produce their first single together with Krishna Jesadrak as music director and finished their first video clip. Promotion through radios and also show at some towns made them more confident. VOA listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Bicaralah. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Aku meninggalkanmu, walaupun berat semua untukku. Tak bisa ku jalani kisah cinta ini yang selalu saja menyakitiku. Aku terus bersamamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.